Among the dozens of interesting guests from around the world at the 15th One World Festival of Human Rights Documentaries is Helle Faber, a leading Danish producer. She introduced the film Putin's Kiss, a chilling depiction of Russia's Nazi pro-government youth movement. And she is Ian Willoughby's guest in this edition of One on One.
Helle Faber's production company, made in Copenhagen, has been behind a string of documentary films that have made an impact far beyond the borders of her native Denmark. The producer has just been in Prague for the One World Festival of Human Rights Documentaries, giving workshops for local filmmakers at the East Dock Forum sidebar, and introducing her company's Putin's Kiss, an excellent documentary that maps the fate of a leading member of Russia's pro-Kremlin youth group, Nashi. Given that 11 of the films at this year's One World are Danish-produced, the first thing I asked Helle Faber was, how come Denmark's bringing out so many quality documentaries?
It's a difficult question to answer, but I think that one of the reasons is that we have built up a tradition and an approach to documentary, which is a way like the approach you will have to fiction. It means that we work very closely with the narrative, we work with our characters, and we use all the tools from telling fiction stories in the documentaries. I think that's an important part of it.
You're here at the East Dock platform, and it supports the production of documentary films in Central and Eastern Europe. What's been your impression of this forum?
The forum is, it's been very exciting to be here. I've been tutoring, I think maybe altogether 10 or 11 projects at very different stages. And I think that you have a variety of very exciting stories to tell. And it's all a matter about for you to get out there on the market and show what you actually have to tell the world. And I think that's where you could improve, to actually be more present in the different markets and show what you actually have to offer, because there's so many stories here, very many stories.
Have you perceived a difference in approach between filmmakers from this part of the world and in Denmark or the West in general?
There's something that struck me here is that people are very much focused on cinema release. Of course, we're also focused on cinema release, but there are so many other windows, and I don't think the great audiences will be in the cinemas for documentary unless it's a very spectacular case and you have a lot of money in the bag for promoting it, which rarely is the case for documentaries. So I think that might be one of the more visual differences, whereas many producers from my part of the world are more focused on television slots.
Also, I noticed among the Danish films that are showing here at One World, I think all of them are made outside Denmark. Is that also a key to success, getting outside your country and traveling?
Of course, for international purposes, that is. But we also do Danish films about Danish topics. I have a film coming up in Denmark very soon. But sometimes, you know, the Danish topics are not that interesting for the rest of the world. So I think that the reason why you see film here that's been done in outside Denmark is because it has a more international focus.
You've also been presenting here your film Putin's Kiss, which mainly concerns the story of a young woman called Masha Drakova, who at the beginning of the film is a senior member of Nashi, the pro-Kremlin group in Russia. What is the appeal of that subject, do you think?
Because it was shocking for us to realize that this organization was actually established in Russia, and also that it had the ability to engage young people like Masha. And of course we were shocked about the undemocratic methods they use. And we were shocked about this was actually going on in 2008, 2009, when we started doing this film. And I think that's we really have to be aware of organizations like that, because in my opinion, it's just like Hitlerjugend in the 30s. And I thought that the world had become wiser, but we obviously haven't. So I think it's very much important to put the focus on an issue like this.
In the film, we see Masha gradually move away from Nashi. We also meet this blogger and journalist, campaigning journalist called Oleg Kashin, and we learn about what happened to him. How important is it for the filmmaker to find and follow such a kind of dramatic story instead of simply reporting on this dodgy group in Russia?
Because a film is able to do so much more. It's because you have the time and the layers in the film, you're actually able to engage your audience on an emotional level, which news pieces aren't, because it's going to be like 1:30 and then it's over. But because you have the ability to work with emotions, your audience will be much more stronger for your audience, because you can actually feel in your stomach what Masha is going through. You can actually feel the fear of Nashi, because you see and experience in your own way how they are taking over the streets.
The film was made over a 4-year period. In that time, did you have any sense that Nashi or even the Russian authorities were concerned about the film?
Not really, because we were also sort of working under the radar. We didn't actually apply for press accreditation or press visa. And of course, when we entered the summer camp of Nashi, we needed a press accreditation for that, which we got. And I think that they're so proud of what they're doing, so and they really wanted to show the rest of the world what was going on, so it wasn't really a problem.
I've been told also that when you got towards the end of the filmmaking process, you made a big change in the structure.
Yeah, we did, because the film started out like Masha's story, this young girl who is actually, we wanted to follow her to the top of Nashi, and In that sense, tell a story about modern politics in Russia and how you actually get to the top in under the leadership of Putin. But as Masha became more and more reluctant to participate in this film, and also because we start feeling that she had some controversies with her superior, Vasily Yakimenko, and because we couldn't get the access to her that we wanted in this process, we decided to open up for more characters and actually put the opposition into the film. And that was a very good decision, because we went from zero, where we were actually always had to rely on Masha, and she always had to open the door for us. If we had some material to shoot, and then suddenly we had more characters and we had a lot of material to shoot. So it was a very important decision. But of course it changed the structure of the film completely. And it went from like a coming-of-age story to a very complex political story.
There have been a few Western films about today's Russia, Vladimir Putin's Russia. Why do you think it's such a fascinating subject for Western filmmakers?
Because Russia is a country that we have a lot of prejudices about, and it's also a country that we know very little about. It's fascinating, it's scary at the same time. And when you go there, you actually realize that it's so much is going on. Everything is moving very, very fast. Moscow is a highly modern city. The Russian teenager is a highly modern teenager, but still it's very difficult for young people to have their own apartment and stuff like that. So poverty is just underneath the glittery images of billboards and advertisements and stuff like that. So there's so much to be fascinated about in Russia. But actually, when we started out, we didn't see anything about contemporary Russia on the market, which is partly why we set off with this film. We saw a lot of film about historic Russia, but nothing about contemporary Russia, and nothing that was actually pointing ahead.
We see Masha kissing Putin in the film. It's called, of course, Putin's Kiss. Does the title also imply that, at the end of the day, everything goes back to Putin in Russia today.
I think more the title implies that a kiss is something you can have out of love, but it's also something you can have in order to sell your soul. So that's the duality we really liked about this. It might be a kiss from somebody you love, and it might be a kiss from the devil. That's up to the viewer to decide.